I know it's late, but why don't we turn some lights on so people don't fall asleep? No. I've got to be able to see. I've got to be able to see up here for a little bit, but listen, we've had a good time, had some fun games, almost saw some people get hurt on a few of those first games. But right now, I'd like for you to tune in and listen at this point of the service, because I believe the Lord has given me a message to preach to you tonight. And what the theme of this is spiritual warfare. And we're talking about the battle we face. How many know we're in a battle every day, good versus evil? And the devil's trying to stop us as Christians. He's trying to keep you held down. And every day you'll face things in your life that will try and stop you as a Christian. But I'm telling you, he's given us some weapons that we can use to defeat the enemy. Amen? The text that we'll take is from 1 John, the 2nd chapter, in the 24th verse. And then I'm going to go over and read the verse that was the theme of this week also. Ephesians chapter 6, verse 10. It says, "Finally, my brethren, be strong in the Lord and in the power of His might. Put on the whole armor of God, that you may be able to stand against the wiles of the devil. For we wrestle not against flesh and blood, but against principalities, against powers, against the rulers of the darkness of this world, and against spiritual wickedness in high places. Wherefore, take unto you the whole armor of God, that you may be able to withstand in the evil day, having done all to stand." And I'll turn over to 1 John right now and read that text there. It says this, "Let that therefore abide in you which you have heard from the beginning. And if that which ye have heard from the beginning shall remain in you, ye also shall continue in the Son and in the Father. And this is the promise that He hath promised us, even to eternal life." Let's pray. Heavenly Father God, we thank You for this opportunity to come together right now, God. And we thank You for Your presence that we've already felt here in this service, God. I ask that You would anoint me to preach Your Word tonight, God. And I ask You also that You would anoint each and every heart and every life in here to hear Your Word and to receive that, God. May a seed be planted here, God, tonight, and may it fall upon good soil and fertile soil, God. And may that we come out of this, God, more on fire for You than we've ever been. May we be unashamed to spread Your gospel, God. And may You send Your presence down right now and let it rest upon us. And may we receive You into this place willingly, God. We love You and we thank You and we praise You, God. Help us to all draw our minds in right now. Give us exactly what You would have us to receive tonight, God. Speak Your words from the throne on high, God, because we know this, that not anything good can be done through us. Only if You show up, God, will anything good be done. And Lord, we ask You to show up right now in Jesus' name. And we all said, amen. I want to talk to you for just a little bit about the fundamentals of your faith. And some of you may know this about me, but some of you may not. I play baseball, a professional baseball player during the season, and I'm a minister during the off season. But first and foremost, I'm a servant of God, and I have to do His will in my life no matter what that is. But I remember when I first went into professional baseball, when I first went to my first practice, and I showed up there, and I didn't know really what to expect, because I was a rookie, and I came into my first practice and showed up there, and I was like, I didn't know what to expect. And when I walked in, and I started getting in the line behind guys, we started doing fundamentals. We started doing things that I had done when I was a young baseball player in Little League. And I looked at the guys and I said, well, we've already done this. I know this. I learned this when I was 5 years old. And they said, well, every season we start back at the beginning. We go over fundamentals again so that we know them and they become repetition. And that's exactly what we need to do as Christians. No matter how long you've been saved, no matter how short you've been saved, the Bible says we need to do our first works over. Amen. We need to stay fresh and new on our walk with Christ. So every day we need to wake up and get up in the morning and talk to God and say, give me the joys of thine salvation. Let me be strong in the fundamentals. And the reason why we do those is so when the things come at you in life, the fundamentals, if they're grounded and they're strong in you, you automatically react. When we did the fundamentals in baseball, those things took place and we were able to know those things. They became muscle memory. So when a play would happen, we would do the fundamentals automatically. And that's the way it is in your spiritual life. We need to learn those fundamentals and they become second nature. Now listen, also one thing is whenever I was in Little League, how many here's ever played baseball? A few of you. How many remember the first time you ever saw a curveball? Did it freak you out? Freaked me out. When I was about 12 years old, I saw a curveball for the first time. Standing in the batter's box, the ball coming right at my head. Duck out of the way, fall on the ground, and the ball curves in for a strike. You're like, what in the world was that? Had no idea what it was. But then you go to your coach, and your coach says, well, that's a curveball. You've never seen one of those before. But then he begins to teach you exactly what to look for. You can, and finally, it comes to a point to where you learn how to read that pitch out of a pitcher's hand. When you see his arm angle, you see how he's throwing that pitch, you know what the pitch is that's coming. And by the time I learned that, in a year's time, that became my favorite pitch to hit. Because I learned how to watch that pitch, how to see when it was coming. And when I could read it halfway through, I knew exactly if a pitch was coming at my side, right here at my elbow, I knew it would break in for a strike and it would be a good pitch to hit. My point is that we have a coach on high that no matter what the enemy throws our way, no matter what Satan throws our way, he can teach us how to receive and how to see what it is that he's bringing our way. Because listen, whatever the devil and whatever the world has for you, it is nothing good. It is nothing going to help you out. And it may seem like it will be fun for a season. But listen, when sin is committed, it bringeth forth death. And I'm telling you, listen, it'll keep you longer than you wanted to stay, make you pay more than you ever wanted to give, and keep you for a long, long time. Listen, folks, it's nothing to play around with. Every day you go to your schools, you get in the hallways, you walk in and out of classrooms, and you're rubbing shoulders with people who the devil is going to try and use to bring you down. But I'm telling you, you've got to stand strong on your Christian fundamentals, because what we've been learning here in this lock-in by the verse that is on your dog tags, that we are in a spiritual battle. Day in and day out, the devil is going to try and do nothing more than to make you fall. But listen, what you must do in battle is you've got to learn the strengths and the weaknesses of your enemy, because he is learning yours. We learned about the full armor of God. And when you have that full armor of God on, he is still looking for any point of entrance into your life. He is poking and prodding with his pitchfork, if you will, looking for the weak spot in your armor. Do you understand what I'm saying? He's trying to look and see where you're weak and where you may be anemic in your Christian walk. But listen, you can be strong enough spiritually. Could I get a drink of water from one of you back there? Thank you. You can be strong enough spiritually that you have armor on so tight that the devil cannot get into. So we must know what the strengths and the weaknesses of our enemy is. And I'm going to tell you some of those right now. The devil has some strengths. One of them is he brings doubt into your life. He tries to make you question God's word and his goodness. Tries to bring discouragement into your life. He tries to make you look at your problems rather than at God. And I'm telling you, listen, I know some of you don't have a great family life, because in a group this size, there's going to be some children who don't have much of a home life. Because that's the sad fact of the matter is, a lot of times there's children that go home to situations that I could never understand. See, I was raised in a Christian family. Thank you very much. Give me just a second. Pause. Ah, there we go. I was raised in a Christian family. And so I was set up to succeed as a Christian. But many people were not that lucky or not that blessed. See, I know people back in my hometown, in my home church, young people that when they grew up in a war zone. What your home is supposed to be is a place of safety, a place of refuge, a place that you can run to when the world comes crashing in. But many times, for young people, the sad fact of the matter is that you go home to a war zone. And you go home to parents who maybe struggle with addiction, or maybe struggle with arguing in their relationship, and a marriage that is not a godly marriage. But I'm telling you this, no matter what your home is like, no matter how he tries to discourage you, have a heavenly Father on high who wants to hold your hand through this life and help you make it through. I'm sorry if that's the case, if you've got a home life that's rough and that's tough for you, but I want you to know this right now, that there is one who walks beside you, who will be with you in the dark of the night, who will be your friend when you cannot find one on this earth. In the darkness of the night, when you call on Jesus, He will be there. Can you say amen to that? I want you to know this, folks, that He's the greatest friend that you could ever ask for. I want you to know this, that He'll never leave you, He'll never forsake you, and He'll never tempt you above more than you're able to bear. That means He won't lay on you more than you can carry. But listen, the devil tries to bring these things into our life to try and slow you down. Doubt, discouragement, and diversion. He tries to make the wrong things seem attractive so that you will want to do them more than the right things. And listen, a lot of times when sin comes around, it looks so good for a little while. The lights and the glitz and the glamour. You want to go out and do what everybody else is doing just so that you'll fit in. You want to go to the places that everybody else is going to just so you'll fit in. And it looks like it's so much fun. Looks like it's so appealing. But listen, once you go and start doing those things, then after a while the lights grow dim. And the pain starts to come into your life because of those choices that you've made. I appreciate you, brother, that you take a stand for purity, for sexual purity. Because listen, God designed you for one mate and one mate alone. And He designed that mate for you as well. And I'm telling you this, you don't hear it taught on a lot anymore. People are straying away from that. But I'm telling you this right here. That you should keep yourself pure spiritually and physically, because that is what God has called you to do. And you're saving yourself from many scars down the road. Because listen, what the devil wants to do is he wants to get in your life at a young age and wreck and ruin the beautiful canvas that God wants to paint a picture upon. He wants to get in at an early age and take you down and hold you down and make you pay for things that you do as a young person for the rest of your life. Will you say, well, can't God forgive me for those things? Yes, He can. And if you have already failed, God wants to forgive you and wipe the slate clean. But God's ultimate goal for your life is to get you at an early age and to keep the scars off of your life so He can keep you pure and keep you clean, so He does not have to clean you up one day. Do you understand that? Three of you understood. Thank you. What God wants to do in your life is to keep you clean now rather than to have to clean you up later. There are some adults that are sitting around the edge here and standing in the back, and they would tell you right now that what I'm talking to you about scars is true. They would tell you that there is scars that some of them probably have on their life, that if they could go back and rewind time, they would go back and choose a different road to walk down. They would choose a different choice. If they could go back, they would give anything to go back. Because listen, the choices you make now, if you're making a choice to crawl into a backseat of the car with a girl or a boy and to give yourself away to them, it will affect you on down the road. Divorce oftentimes doesn't start after you say I do. It starts right now. While you're a young person making choice after choice after choice, because they will affect you in the end. He tries to bring doubt, discouragement, diversion. And he tries to bring defeat into your life. Tries to make you feel like a failure so you won't even try. And listen, what I'm saying to you is if you've fallen, that doesn't make you a failure. Everybody fails. Since the sin in the garden, we are all susceptible to sinning. Each and every day we deal with that because we're human and you're going to fall. But it's not about when you fall, it's about when you get back up. And it's about when you stand strong and say, God, I am sorry for what I've done. Forgive me for my sin. Help me to walk after you in a closer way than I ever have before. It's not about falling down, because you're going to fall. You're going to fall. I don't want you to think you've got to be perfect, because there is no one on this earth that is perfect. There's only been one. His name's Christ Jesus. And He bled and He died for you so that you could have a way out. So that you could have a way to receive that life everlasting. The devil tries to defeat us by bringing that into our life. And then he tries to bring delay into your life. These are all of his strengths. But here in just a second, I'm going to give you some of his weaknesses. He tries to make you put off doing something so that it never gets done. How many know that when you put something off, a lot of times you'll put it off to the point where it never actually gets done? You'll put it off and put it off and put it off and think, well, I'll do this tomorrow. I'll do this next week. I'll do it the next time you ask me to, God. But a lot of times when you're in school and maybe God is dealing with you to speak to one of your peers and to witness to them, but you'll say, ah, not right now. Not right now. There's too many people around right now. I'll talk to them at a later time. I don't want to right now, God. And you put it off and you put it off. That's one of the strengths that the devil brings into our lives, is delay. He tries to make us put off doing things that we know we need to do. He's going to use that on some of you here tonight. Whenever I give you the opportunity to come down here and ask forgiveness for your sins, the devil's going to start whispering in some of your ears and saying, ah, just wait, you'll have another opportunity. Just wait, you'll be able to do that at a later date. But listen, you're not guaranteed your next breath. You're not guaranteed to be picked up in the morning. And it's not a guarantee that when you are picked up in the morning that you won't be in a car wreck on the way home. You say, well, I don't want to think about stuff like that. Well, listen, we've got to look at things as they literally are. You don't know what some person is going to do. You look at the news and you see all the things that are going on. Listen, folks, it's getting close to the end. I believe that Jesus Christ is going to be coming back sooner rather than later. Can I hear an amen there? I believe He's coming back for a church without spot or wrinkle. He's coming back for a people who are covered by His blood. So don't delay today. If you don't know Him, today is the day that you need to become acquainted with Him. I want to give you some of His weaknesses now. You knew some; those are some of His strengths, but here are some of His weaknesses. One of them is a truly surrendered servant. I want you to know this right here, that God can only use someone who is truly surrendered to Him. There's many people who come to Christ and they say, God, I want You to use me and I give You my whole heart, I give You my whole life, I give You everything I have, except for this one area. I'll give You everything else except for this one part of my life. You see, they may be 95% committed to God, 95% surrendered, but that 5% that they held on to is what holds them back for a lifetime. You sometimes will never realize your true potential as a Christian because you're not truly committed and truly surrendered to God. I believe that when you're 100% committed to God, the sky is the limit on what God can do in your life. God could use each and every one of you in such a great way if you'll just give your whole heart to Him right now. But there's too many people that walk around and say, God, I'll give You this part of me, but I won't give You this part. Listen, with Him, it's all or nothing. You've got to give Him all or it's nothing. It's altogether, you're altogether saved or you're altogether lost. It's one or the other. There's no riding the fence. That's one of His weaknesses, though, is a truly surrendered servant. And then here's another weakness that the devil has. Someone that stays in the Word of God. How many here read their Bible on a daily basis? Thank you for your honest hearts. I'm telling you this. If you have an anemic spiritual life, such as being in the Word, then that gives place for the devil to come in and kill you spiritually. And I'm telling you, you say, well, I'm so busy. I've got so many other things going. I've got extracurricular activities. I've got sports going on at school. I've got all of these different classes I've got to study for. But here's the thing. Everything that we do in this life is just for a moment that we're here. But think about this. How old are some of you in here? Is there anybody sitting right here in this area that's 18 years old? If you are, raise your hand. Anybody 17 years old right here? Okay, some of the older teens that are here, 17. Does it seem like your life has been pretty long right now? 17 years? But listen, somewhere 10,000 years from now, you will be living on. You'll be living on somewhere 10,000 years from now. And the choice is yours whether or not that's going to be heaven or hell. But my point is, We get so caught up many times in the things that we've got going on here on this earth. And this is all going to pass away someday. We put so much stock in everything that we've got going on around us, in our schools, in our sports, and things like that. But those things really do not matter when it comes to the things of God. Can I get an amen there? When it all comes down to it, someday this world is going to burn and we'll go on to heaven or you'll go to hell, one way or the other. So my point is that we need to be more focused on the spiritual side of life than we need to be focused on the physical side, on everything that we do day in and day out. We've got to be focused on staying spiritually strong because we are in a battle. Someone that stays in the Word is a weakness that the devil has. Someone that stays on their knees in prayer is a weakness that the devil has. You see, when he comes in and he probes the armor of someone who's staying spiritually fit and spiritually strong, he can't find weaknesses many times. And when he cannot find those weaknesses, you are one of his enemy. You're one that's in the battle and that can take him down. You're a prayer warrior. You're somebody who has a lot of weight with God, carries a lot of weight with God, and you're able to see things done through the power of Jesus Christ. Someone that takes the weapon out of his hand is one of his greatest weaknesses. You say, what do you mean by that, preacher? We're in a battle, and there's different weapons that he will use to try and take you down. And one of the weapons he will try to use is relationships. He'll try to use relationships to take you down. He'll try to use TV to take you down, alcohol, drugs, computers. He'll try to use anything he can to get his foot in the door and take you down. You say, well, what do you mean? He said, well, let me just share with you this real quick. This year in baseball, Fox Sports came this year and filmed my team for the entire season. It'll be on a show on Fox Sports 1 coming up starting in April. And they were doing an interview with me one day this year during the season, and they asked me what I thought the reason was for the moral decay of America. And I thought, well, that's an unbelievable question that they asked me. I know God ordained that they were able to open up to me and ask me what I thought the reason was for the moral decay in America. And I'll tell you this. This is what I told them. Because a lot of children today go home to parents who don't really show them what it is to be Christians. Who don't really show them what it is. And there's a few parents sitting here today. And I want to tell you this. That it is your job as parents and you youth leaders, it is your job as youth leaders. Yes, it's a great thing to entertain children. It's a great thing what you've done here. This is a tremendous thing, all the planning and everything that you've done. But what's even more important with this, once you entertain them, what's even more important than that is what you show them spiritually in your lives. Because whether you like it or not, adults back in the back, whether you like it or not, there is someone watching you daily, watching every choice that you make, every move that you make. They're watching and patterning their lives after you. Youth leaders, it's the same way with you. They're watching every choice that you make, every move that you make, every step you walk. They're watching you. So you have a great calling in your life because you're leading somebody somewhere. My father and my mother, they led me to this point in my life. All I had to do was set my eyes on them and they told me to look to Jesus Christ. And see, when they showed me that, it was easy for me to fall into place and walk after Christ because I had been shown that by my folks. But I told them, during that interview, I said this. I said that the reason for the moral decay is because parents stop being parents to their children. They no longer care about what places they go to, what they do, what they watch. They have unplugged as parents. And let me tell you something. We need to start respecting our parents once again, young people. We need to respect them and listen to what they say. Because listen, they're a little older than you. And whether or not you think this is true or not, they know more than you know. Can you say amen to that? I knew that'd be a tough one. But listen, God put them in place in leadership over you as your parents. So you need to hear what they have to say. You need to listen to what they say. Because they do know. They do know. They've been through all the things you're going through right now. They've been through all of those things before. You've got to respect your parents once again. And listen to what they say. You want to blow their minds? When they tell you something the next time, just say, okay, Mom. Okay, Dad. I'll do what you say. And they'll turn around and look like, who in the world are you? You didn't backtalk me. You didn't say, you didn't have something to say about that. Just shock your parents one time. When they say, no, you're not going to that place. Say, okay, I respect what you have to say and I won't. I'm telling you, it will blow their mind. And when you start doing things like that, listen, I'm speaking from experience. When you respond that way, then you build trust with your parents. And then they think when they see that and they know that they can trust you, then they're able to open up and start letting you do a few more things because you've proven yourself to them. You've got to prove yourself before you can go and do some of the things that they will allow you to do because, listen, they know better than you do. I know we're getting tired here and I'm going to wrap this up, but I want you to know that we're in a spiritual battle, but we need to go back to the fundamentals of our faith. We must keep the weapons out of his hand. He's going to try and kill you spiritually. One thing, I'll tell you this story in closing, and I'm not going to be able to finish all of this for time's sake, but I remember, Christy, would you come and play softly at the guitar, please? Help me get stopped. I remember one time sitting in our home, and we were sitting there one evening, and there was a knock at the door. It wasn't a knock like this, it was like this. Urgency in the knock. I remember my dad went to the door and we were all standing there and by the knock we had all stood around the door to see who it was. And it was my Aunt Charlotte. And she came to the door and she had tears streaming down her face. And she was standing there and she just said, "Where is Rhonda?" This is my mom. And said, "Where is Rhonda?" She said, "She's up." My dad said, "She's upstairs. What's going on?" They said, "Well, it's Zane, her brother. Said he's going crazy right now." I said, "Well, what has happened?" They said, "You know their cousin, Mark Shane?" I said, "Yes, what about him?" I said, "Well, they just found him dead in a motel room in Texas. And he died of a drug overdose." My mom was coming down the stairs at that time and she lost all of her strength. And she fell down and she started screaming out, "Mark Shane! Mark Shane, why would you do this to us? Why would you leave us with no hope of ever seeing you again?" See, my Uncle Zane, a few months prior, they went back to a family function, went back to a family reunion, and he met with Mark, and him and Mark had grown up in the same church, grown up in the same youth group. They said they used to stand in the choir and sing, "There's Power in the Blood," when they were young children. Then they grew up. And there's a crossroads each and every one of you will come to. Many times when you get car keys as a teenager and when you get your own little job, the first thing you do is you forget about the church. But see, both of those boys came to that crossroad in their life. They came to be teenagers. And my Uncle Zane chose the way of the cross. And Mark Shane, he chose the way of the world. He chose to go out with friends that asked him to do things and partake in things that he wasn't raised to do. His parents told him he shouldn't go out and do drugs, shouldn't go out and go to these places, and shouldn't go out and hang around these people. But he didn't heed their word and he went on that way. Time went on. They grew into men. And then that day came at that family reunion and they walked back up face to face. And my Uncle Zane looked at him and said, "Mark, why don't you give your life back to Christ? Why don't you do things right? Why don't you come home? I don't care what you've done. I don't care the wreck you've made of your life. Why don't you come back to Christ?" And he looked at him and he said, "Zane," he said, "I've got too much that I've got to get right first." He said, "But when that day comes, I'll call you. It's the biggest lie the devil's ever told to humanity right there, is that you've got too much wrong with your life to come to Jesus. I don't care what you've done, where you've been, how bad the shape your life is in, Jesus Christ can put the pieces back together again. And it's the sad fact of the matter is that at a younger and younger age, people are having broken and shattered lives. But guess what? The business that Jesus is in salvaging through those pieces and putting them all back together again. He can make something beautiful out of the mess that you've made of your life. Mark said to him, I've got too much that I've got to get right first, Zane. I'm not going to come right now, but when I come, I'll call you and you can lead me to Jesus. A few months later, little did he know, that would have been his last chance, his last opportunity to receive Christ. Because a few months later, he was in a motel room with those friends that he chose to follow out into the world. And you see, he took one too many hits that night. And he overdosed on drugs. And they said when they went to get his body out of that room, those same friends that he'd followed out in the world that he thought was his closest companion, they have stole the watch off his wrist, the wallet out of his pocket, and the boots off of his feet. See, listen. Don't leave God to go after a friendship in this world. Because one day everyone else around you that the world brings your way will be gone. But God will still be there. Mark Shane waited too long. And at his funeral, his dad, who had raised him in church, walked by the casket, looked down, and kept popping in nitro pills because his heart was about to fail him. See, they had taught him the right way to live. But when it came time for him to become a teenager, they started to check out. Rather than staying their parent and showing them the right way to go, they thought it was easier just to let him do what he wanted. And he chose that lifestyle. And now, if God didn't intervene, Mark Shane has been in hell burning for years now. And I guarantee you, if you could look down into hell and see him today, he would say, don't wait. Don't wait a second longer. Give it all to Jesus right now. Because I'm telling you, it's appointed unto men once to die, then after that comes the judgment. Each and every one of you will stand before Christ Jesus one day, and he'll set his fiery eyes upon you. And he'll judge you off how you've lived and what you've done with Jesus Christ here on this earth. So I want to ask you, in this battle that we're in right now, will you say today that you'll become a soldier of the cross? Will you say today that I will put on the whole armor of God and I will walk after him and I will combat against the enemy with everything I've got in me? I want you to bow your heads and close your eyes right now, nobody looking around. While she plays softly, is there any of you here tonight that would say this with nobody looking around? Would you say this, preacher, I don't know for sure that if I died right now, I don't know that I would go to heaven. But I want to make for sure that I would go to that place. Is there one who would slip up their hand and say, preacher, I want to make for sure, with all heads bowed and all eyes closed, I see that hand there. See that hand there. See that hand there. See that hand there. See that hand back there. See that hand here. Hands here. Hands here. Hands here. All over the place. All over the place. Many have raised their hands. Is there anyone else tonight who unashamedly would like to say, preacher, I want to know for sure tonight. I want this to be the day that I know for certain that if I died, I'd make heaven my home. Is there one more who would slip up their hand and say, preacher, I see that hand there. Thank you for your honest heart. See that hand there. See that hand there. See that hand there. Thank you for your honest heart. Anyone else here? See that hand there. Thank you for your honest heart. Anyone else who would slip up your hand and say, preacher, I see that hand. Thank you, son. God sees your hand. Give me just a second longer. Listen, there's some of you that are sitting at your seats right now and wondering what the person next to you is thinking. What would they think if I raised my hand? What would they think if I was the one who walked down the aisle tonight? But listen, you won't stand before the person next to you one day. You'll stand before God. And He'll set His eyes on you and judge you and you alone. So right now, I'm going to ask you one more time. Is there anyone else who would say, "Preacher, I want to make for certain"? If there is, slip up your hand. See this hand here. See this hand on the front. See this hand back here. All right. All of you that raised your hands tonight, I want you to do this. I want you to look up at me. All over this place. All over this place. All over this place. Here. Now what I want you to do now, you that are looking up at me, I want you to stand up. Would you stand up? Would you stand up back there, brother? Would you stand up over here? Would you stand up on the front here? Now what I want you to do now is I want you to all come right down here at the front. And would you kneel right here and give us the opportunity to pray with you? Would you do that? Would you come? Would you come, all of you? Thank God for these tears. Thank God for these tears. Amen. Amen. Just kneel down here and find a place to pray. Kneel down right here. Now you that are sitting in your seats, by sitting there you're saying you're okay. So what I want you to do is gather around these that have come to pray, and you pray for them as well. Now while you're here, there's a lot of you here, so I want you to do this. If you would, all of you, pray this prayer with me, okay? Pray this out audibly. Pray it after me and repeat this prayer. Dear Jesus, I'm a sinner. And right now, I ask you to come into my heart. I thank you for dying on the cross for my sins. I give you my life, my yesterday, my today, and my tomorrow. I'm sorry for my sins. Forgive each and every one. Thank you, Lord, for saving me. I believe you're my Lord, and I believe you're my Savior. And I believe you just came into my heart. Thank you for doing so. In Jesus' name I pray. Amen. Now let us just stay here for a little while and let us pray a prayer of protection around you, because now the battle starts. If you started this journey right now, the battle is starting right now. And tomorrow will be the toughest day of your life, chances are, because the devil will try and come against you and try and say to you, "Well, what you got last night, that wasn't real. What happened to you last night, that was just emotion." But listen, you need to be prepared as a soldier of the cross to come against him and say, "I made a decision for me, and I made a decision for God, and I am standing on that, and I'm going to follow after him all the days of my life." So let's pray right now for strength. Heavenly Father, God, we come before you right now, Lord. God, we thank you for this move that we've had here tonight, God. Thank you for all of these honest-hearted children, God. And we ask you right now, God, that you would build a hedge of protection around their hearts and around their lives, Father. We know, God, that you can save them, and God, we know that you can keep them. But God, they've got to want to be kept. And God, we ask that you would create in them a clean heart and a right spirit right now, God, and help them start on this journey, walking after you daily, seeking you in your word and in prayer, because that is the only way that they will make it, if they start building themselves up spiritually. And they can only do that through your word and through praying to you, God. You cannot have a relationship with someone you won't speak to. So God, may you create some prayer warriors around this place right now, God. May you create in them a great boldness, so that when they go back into their schools and back into their places of work, that they will be a great witness for you. We ask you, God, to build them up spiritually, make them giants of the faith. There's a good chance that there's many that are praying around this altar that someday will be ministers, that maybe someday they will be pastors' wives, and someday maybe they'll be missionaries. Or maybe they'll just be laymen in the church who witness for the cause of Christ. And God, we ask you right now that you just build a hedge of protection around them that the devil and his angels could not penetrate. And we thank you for this time, God. We thank you for your presence. And we thank you for the move of God here. In Jesus' name, we ask you to do all these things. Amen. Amen. Go ahead and sing, guys.
I'm tired, I'm worn, my heart is heavy from the work it takes to keep on breathing.
Stand up. And I want to tell you this right now, that it takes a man or it takes a woman to serve Christ. Anybody can go with the flow and can go with what the world is doing. But it takes a man or a woman to stand up and say, I'm going to go against the grain, and I'm going to follow what saith the Word of God. So I want to commend you right now. You're some of my heroes. Because it takes a person that is full of God to stand up and say, you know what, I'm going to go and I'm going to do this. And I'm not saying it's all going to be easy from here on out. You're going to face some struggles. Tomorrow will be probably the toughest day of your walk because you'll get up and the devil will start to say to you, you didn't really have a change in your life. You didn't really experience anything that's going to last. But you say to him that I have been made more than a conqueror through Jesus Christ, and I'm going on for him, and I'm going to begin to put on the full armor of God so that the devil cannot come my way and cannot take me down. So give yourselves a round of applause tonight. Thank you for this time. Appreciate it. Thank you.
Okay, guys, we're going to sing one last song.